It's very good to see all of you here out tonight. Put on my microphone here, the way I can move around. See if this computer's going to wake up for me today. I have a microphone. So today has been very, very, very full for me. I wish that all of my days could be like today. It's been raining outside, and there have been lots and lots of things to do. It's one of my favorite things in life is to have a full day, and I've had one today. Today, tonight, we're going to talk about things that hold us back. We're going to talk about making it through. And specifically, we're going to talk about one of those that we've already mentioned before in one of my sermons, David and Goliath. So if you will please turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And let's see if this thing is on. Are you on? On. There we go. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we already had the scripture reading. There we go. 1 Samuel 17. We already had our scripture reading. Let me go ahead and start the old slideshow here. Then I have to always remember to press the next button, enter. All right. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together for battle. Let's see if this is going to work here. Hey, we got something. We're getting there. All right. So, David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Succoth and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. If you look at the map, you can see that it's kind of to the left of Israel is where, let's see if I can do this, pointer? Yeah, right there. This is where they would have been. They were coming over here to fight with the Philistines. Now, it's interesting to note before we get into this story that the reason that they were fighting the Philistines at all had nothing to do with David, but instead it had to do with the hardness of Saul's heart, as he had already failed to do what God had commanded him, and he had failed to utterly destroy the Philistines. And the champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. That's 9 feet or so, a little bit taller than 9 feet. And he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. By the way, 5,000 anythings of anything would be heavy, but bronze is fairly heavy metal. That is a very, very heavy armament that he has got on. He is not a slight person. He's not frail. And he had bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. If you've never seen a weaver's beam, I think you probably should, just to get an idea. We're not talking about a small little arrow. We're talking about a big block, typically of wood, that would have been on the top of a weaver's arm as they weave back and forth. You might even think of a board or a log from a log cabin. It looks something like that. Maybe a little bit smaller, but that's about the size. His iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. And a shield bearer went before him. This man is not slight. This is a big guy. All right? Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together. When Saul and Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were not happy. How many things in our life make us feel this way? For my daughter, it's a spider. Maybe my wife too. Maybe it's a cockroach running around in the house. What is it that makes you so afraid that you won't go forward? That you won't do what you need to do because something's in your way? Let's talk a little bit about David. David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years, in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him, Abinadab, and the third, Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So he kind of checked in and saw what was going on every once in a while. Doesn't sound much like a soldier, does it? Doesn't sound much like someone that should be at the battle. He's young. He's serving his father. The older ones are out battling. They're of age. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. That's a long time. For 40 days, that's what's happening. 40 days. Why didn't they just leave? If you're not going to stand and fight, you should run and flee, right? They didn't do either. They simply stood terrified without an idea of what to do farther. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting the Philistines. Sounded more like they were doing a lot of fretting than fighting, but that's what they were doing. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper. By the way, here we go, Goliath presenting himself. These are great pictures, presenting himself, yes, very similar to the Bible studies we've had. Great artists. But anyway, I wanted to have a little bit of a feeling for what's going on. This is something like what David would have seen when he comes in. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, took the things, and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came to greet his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up?" Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Then David spoke, to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills a Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." This Philistine had them very scared, and they understood that reproach was going to be the result of this. If they were not able to defeat Goliath and get through this problem, the name of the children of Israel, and really the name of God, would be besmirched, because God was not strong enough to defeat this giant. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David and said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first ones did. There was no kind word for David here. They were all telling him, "No way. What are you doing here, little kid? Get out of here. Let the big boys handle this big problem." And David was belittled. It gets better. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go out and fight this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go up against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." How many times are we presented with an obstacle and we ask our friends, "I've got this problem, I've got this thing that's really bothering me." "You can't get through that. You're just going to have to deal with it like it is. You're just going to have to let things stay the way they are because you can't change it. You're not going to be able to." When we go to the land and ask those that should know, they have the same response for us. And here David is presented with the same information, not only by the fighters, his brothers, but also by the king. And in verse 34, David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he's defiled the armies of the living God." "Moreover," David said, "the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." God puts things in front of our path so that we can work through them. And as we gain confidence in the small things that we work through, we can see through to get to the bigger things. Here David was prepared for this battle against the Philistines, not because he knew how to fight with armor in battle array, but because God had already put obstacles in his path and had shown David that he could make it. If you look in your own lives, you'll find the truth that you've already defeated some giants that you weren't sure you'd ever defeat. But there's always something else there, isn't there? There's always something in our way tempting us and helping us to not do what we should do, but instead to do the easy thing, to do what we want to do instead of what God wants. "He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. How many times are we helped by our friends by saying, "You know what? The only way for you to get through this is for you to have this medicine, or for you to go over here and do this other thing that's not really quite right either." Taking other people's advice rather than God's, will put us in armor that doesn't fit us. Will put us in a situation where we're trying to do things to help, but instead become a hindrance. If David had gone out in Saul's armor that he had not tested, he may well have tripped and fallen right in front of Goliath and not ever had a chance to defeat him. But here he had the wisdom to understand, this is not going to work. I'm not going to be able to make this happen in your armor, Saul. And in verse 40, then he took his staff in his hand, he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked out and saw David, he disdained him. For he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? It's a cartoon, but that's the idea. Who is this little puny thing in front of me? And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. And the Philistines said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Didn't get easier, did it? Can that have been a simple, easy thing for David to have dealt with? Now this man, who is that large, that scary, that strong, is in full battle array with his armor bearer standing against David. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face into the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and the gates of Ekron. And he wounded the Philistine, and the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Shurim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. The Philistines now are the ones that are terrified and have lost their will to fight, because their champion is dead, because of a single stone thrown by a young man with a simple sling. And with God really directing that stone. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. So the king said, inquire whose son this young man is. Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? And David answered, I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. And the king is finding out more about this young man who has now defeated someone who was an absolute obstacle to them all. When he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also the sight of Saul's servants. David was rewarded for what? For believing in God. His belief was so strong that he simply stepped forward with a sling that he knew how to use and with stones that he had used before. And he killed Goliath. And he found himself in a whole heap of trouble, by the way, in some other ways. There was Saul, as Saul became jealous of him because God was greatly blessing him. There's always another challenge. This is at the beginning for David. David suffered very many things because of some of his great Goliaths that he was not able to defeat right off. Bathsheba was one of his toughest. What's your Goliath? I'll give you a hint. When there's something that feels like you can't make it through, when there's a mountain that goes up so high that there's no way around it, when there's something you won't let go of, that you can't seem to shake, you may well have found a giant. A giant that is standing between you and God. Get rid of it. Get rid of your Goliath and change. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we have the passage. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And if you think that that simple act, simple, was so easy and just no big deal for Jesus, you need to read what he said in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prayed for the cup to pass him by, that he would not have to taste of that cup, the death on the cross, the sin of the world. But he said, it's your will, let it be. Despising the shame, he endured the cross and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If Jesus did it, if Jesus was able to face the cross itself, can't we face our own demons, our own tendencies? James chapter 1 tells us very plainly what the problems we have are. It's our own lusts. It's our own desires that war within us that we have to stop, that we have to defend against. We have to prepare for the fight. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Sometimes we catch a glimpse of that. Garner mentioned something in a prayer about the decision of our highest legislature and of our highest legal arm. That's right. All of our government now has seemed to agree that marriage is not a sacred act between man and woman anymore, but simply a legality. It's never been a legality. It's never been something that is through this world at all, not through this country. It's God ordained, and that will never change. But we can see glimpses of these great principalities and powers as the world seems to churn in sin. We have to be ready. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We are here at a time that I have never seen before. I'm very young, and I haven't seen some things that I've heard about in the past. But things are tough right now because the views held by the standard public, whoever that is, I don't think I've ever met John Q. Public, but the views held by this nation don't align with mine at all anymore. And I am standing out. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. One of the hardest things to find, it seems, these days is truth and what it is. We should know what truth is because God is truth. Having put the breastplate of righteousness on, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. That shield of faith, by the way, is the one that carried David to a successful victory over Goliath. It was his faith that God had more power than this uncircumcised Philistine. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You have to prepare. And you got to win the battle. Those of us that are no longer here have already placed their name in the book of life. I pray that all of you here will also put your name there. How sad it would be to struggle and fight in this world only to find yourself being damned in the end. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may be able to obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Have you ever known anyone that was going to run a race? They have a strict diet. They have a regiment that they follow. They don't allow certain things into their body or into their mind as they are preparing to win this silly race. A little race. Who knows what it is, but it's certainly nothing compared to our soul's salvation. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. If we don't change who we are, what kind of witness are we going to be to the world who thinks that everything's okay? If our own lives show that everything's okay, what kind of a witness is there? If we say that God does not approve of lying and we are liars, our witness is going to fail us, isn't it? We have to purge ourselves. We have to find a way to get through the problems that we have, the moral issues that we have and that we fight. We worry about marriage between two of the same sex. What about intercourse between anyone outside of the bonds of marriage? That's really the problem. This nation is vile because it allows all of these things and winks at it. Doesn't think it's a big deal. Don't let that become your ideal. Don't let that be what you believe. But instead, let God speak. Let His standard be true. Let what we wear match what we say. Please don't find yourself out in the world dressed immodestly trying to teach someone about God. It's not going to be a good thing. Or taking in things that the world sees as sinful, much less us. It's so easy to find yourself alone. It's so easy to find yourself weak and afraid, just like the Israelites were in the face of Goliath in that battle. The difference is faith. Put on the armor of God and then use it. Find a way to make it through this life. That's the message tonight. I pray that each and every one of us will continue to look at ourselves and evaluate who we are. Don't be forgetful. Don't pretend that the problems that you have with sin don't exist. Face them. Deal with them. And once you have conquered them, don't pretend that they're not there anymore. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means that all of us have things that we have tendencies to that are sinful. And we have to keep them away from us. Read more in God's Word if you want to know more. So now, if there's anyone that needs the prayers of this congregation, or if you would like to be converted into the path that leads to heaven,